The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1. And verse 9 will be our commencing verse as we read, and we will read down to verse 13. Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. This is the Word of God. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River, implied. And immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with a wild beast, and the angels were ministering to him. God will bless his word to our hearts. Now, each and every one of us has special days. There are days that are important to you. For example, September 9th is a very important day to me. June 22nd is a very important day to me. September 9th, I was born, and June 22nd, I got married. Now, not in the same year, but sometime later on. Each person has a day that is of significance to him or to her. In the life of Jesus, there were days that were significant. Days having to do with his ministry on earth. Days that would move him, as we will see in a few moments, from where he was to where he was supposed to go. The baptism of Jesus was a significant day in his earthly life. It had to do with many things, and we will deal with only one, or perhaps in a general way, that very theme this evening. Jesus himself did it, and so should I. This day is going to be significant in the lives of those who will follow Christ in baptism. And for those who have already done so, it is a very significant day in their life, because they can look back at a time in their lives when they follow the Lord in the same way, and we trust that the Spirit of God will do his work so that others will follow tonight. For those of you who are visiting with us, you will find at the back of your bulletin an outline of the ministry of the Word this evening, and if you would like to follow, you will be able to find the outline there. I want you to consider with me, first of all, what I call the example of Jesus. I want to suggest to you that Jesus never asked the disciples to do anything that he himself did not do ahead of them. He modeled for them. He was an example. He actually led the way in everything he said to them, and it is no different when it comes to baptism. The example of Jesus is seen in Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Just a few verses in the first part of this verse. And it came about in those days. Now, to you and to me, those words are insignificant. They mean almost nothing, except they are words that we find printed in a page of one of the Gospels in the New Testament. But in the life of Christ, these days, those days are significant. Because from this point on, in those days will mark the end of his life of seclusion. For 30 years, Jesus lived in silence. He was not before the public eyes. But at this point, as Mark tells us, in those days marked the beginning of his public ministry. Those days marked the beginning of the purpose for which he came into the world, that is, to redeem mankind. Those days will be the first days marching up to Good Friday, and of course, to Easter Sunday, as we like to call them. What do we find in these days? Or in those days, ended the life of obscurity. Very few, if any, knows what were the practices of Jesus during those earthly days. Many, many men have tried to write what Jesus may have been like during those years of silence, those 30 years when he was not before the public eye, but was actually preparing himself, disciplining himself under the parentage of his mom, and his father, Joseph, his earthly father, of course. But in those days ended those days of obscurity. And tonight, my friends, there will be some people who will end the days of obscurity. For them, it will be a declaration to you that they are about to follow Jesus Christ as the Lord of their lives. You may have known them, you may have seen them, you may have walked with them, but you perhaps did not know how truly important Christ was to him or to her as you see these people coming forward this evening to be baptized. I want to suggest to you that no one forced anyone to be baptized. The scriptures do not say you have to, because baptism is something that comes, that flows out of one's affection for God, one's yieldedness to Christ, and never a pointed finger saying, you better or else. So when Jesus came out of obscurity, he came of his own volition. Nobody said, okay, you have reached the age of 30. It is time now for you to enter into this. He was conscious of the purpose for which his Father brought him into this world, his Heavenly Father, that is. And when the days of preparations were ended, Jesus came out of obscurity to proclaim himself as the Son of God, and God was going to verify that after he was baptized. Those days ended, the days of obscurity. Secondly, as you look at these days of Jesus, it also marks, my friends, that he himself is an exponent of obedience. He modeled for the rest of us and the disciples why baptism is important. He, the Son of God, the sinless, spotless, perfect Son of God, was baptized. And one would ask, why would Jesus Christ be baptized? If you take a few verses back, a book back, in fact, go to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we have the answer to the question, why was Jesus baptized? Matthew 3 and verse 13. Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized. That little prepositional phrase, to be baptized. He came with that intention. He came with that motivation. He came with that conviction. He came for that purpose. He came to be baptized. It was the deep conviction of our Lord that this was something he was supposed to do. Now, when Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist, John was astonished. He asked Christ, why do you come to me to be baptized? You should baptize me. Why should I baptize you? And Jesus gives us the reason for his baptism. He said, John, allow it to happen, for it becomes you and me to fulfill all righteousness. That little word, fulfill, to complete, to do something that is desired, to do something that is designed. Jesus came and lived 30 years in obscurity. And when he was about to begin his public ministry, he came out of the years of silence into the public eye, and he began his earthly ministry by being baptized, because baptism, as far as he was concerned, was really doing what God the Father wanted him to do. Thus, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill, to carry out that which is the design of God. So let me say something very, very important right here. When you and I are baptized, we are baptized because we have confessed our sins to Christ, we have trusted him as Savior, and we want to follow him as the Lord of our lives. He never sinned. So then why is he being baptized? If baptism is symbolic of one's repentance, if baptism is the means by which one says to the world, to the angels, that I belong to Jesus Christ, to whom is he saying it? He, my friends, is identifying with sinners. He is showing that he is going to be the substitute for you and for me. So identified was Christ with you and me that he actually modeled for us what a Christian is supposed to do in his earthly life while he's waiting on serving God here. He was baptized because he's showing us it is required of us, it is designed of us, that we fulfill this. And John, what I am doing is modeling for others what they are supposed to be doing. That, my friends, is why Jesus was baptized. He is modeling for us obedience. Because, you see, let me suggest to you something. Those of you who are members of this church and adherents would have known this because you've heard me saying it. There are countries in the world that you can go and you can become a Christian. You can receive Christ as your Savior. You can go to church. You can carry a Bible if you want to. But the moment you say you want to be baptized, that's the line of demarcation. There are people, I went to school with students in the schools that I've attended, where there were bullet marks upon their bodies because when they told their parents they wanted to be baptized, they said, we would rather you die than to be baptized. Because in baptism, we are saying we confess Christ as Savior in the past and today. Tonight, I want to crown Him the Lord of my life. I want to follow Him as the master of my life. I want Him to take control of my life. I want to walk in earthly obedience to Him. And when they said that, it was the line of demarcation. There are some who will hold funerals for their children when they get baptized because they say, baptism, you are saying to me that you are forgetting the kind of lifestyle that controlled your life in the past. And you are telling me now that you want your life to be guided by the Scriptures. You want to walk in obedience to Christ. You want to make your life count for Him. You want to live to His glory. And that might mean that there will be times when you will have to say no to things that might be important to your friends, sometimes to your parents, sometimes to your husband, sometimes to your wife. The Scriptures calls, my friends, for God's absolute sovereignty over your life and mine, and baptism is submitting to His mastery over us. Jesus models for us in baptism His obedience to what the Word of God teaches. And so we see then that the example of Jesus was to end obscurity, and He was the exponent of obedience. When we are baptized, we follow Him as He was obedient. So are we. Secondly, the experience of Jesus. The experience of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. In the end of verse 9, we read these words. Jesus came in those days from Nazareth, where He was being brought up, and was baptized in the Jordan. That little word, in, means, my friends, literally, it is a preposition of motion. Please excuse me being pedantic here. It is a preposition of motion. It shows that He was doing something. And what He was doing, He was about to enter into the river, Jordan. He was entering in. He was not simply going in. He was moving toward that as He spoke with John. And then we read these words in verse 10. And immediately, coming up out of the water, He went in and He was baptized. To go in is actually to move into, and coming up, out. We have three motions here. The first motion is moving toward the water. The second motion is being in the water. He was baptized. Baptized means to actually to place into. To place into. And He went under and came up out of the water. And we read from Romans chapter 6, the wonderful symbolism of baptism. To go under the water, we identify with Christ in His death. To walk out of the water, we identify with Christ in His newness of life. That is, from here on, as we sing in the little chorus we will be singing tonight, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That was His experience. He went in. He was placed in. He was covered. Now, what is the meaning for you and for me? A person becomes a Christian, friends, when that person realizes that there is a need in his or her life. I have a need of a Savior because I am conscious that in my heart there is something missing. I think it was St. Augustine who puts it so wonderfully for us. Thou hast made us for thyself, and we are restless until we find our rest in thee. Thou hast made us for thyself. God did not make you or me to live for ourselves. He did not redeem us for us to live to ourselves. He made us and he redeemed us that we might live first of all for his glory and be of use in service to one another. That's why he made us and that's why he redeemed us. Baptism then is saying this, the meaning of it, that as I go into the water, as I go under the water, as I walk out of the water, I am saying that I am desirous of living a life that is not, that is not anything like the life I used to live before. It means now I have a new master. Jesus does not simply save me from going to hell. Jesus did not save me simply that I might go to heaven. He literally saved me that on earth I may let my light so shine before men that they might see his good works and glorify God in heaven. That's why he saved me. And when I am baptized, I am declaring to one and all. I was going by a store the other day, a store that I used to go into all the time, and I saw a sign. And the sign said this, under new management. Someone else had the controls of the till. Someone else had the key. Someone else had the right of entrance. In baptism, my friends, we are saying that our lives had been placed under new management, and the owner of this life I live is Jesus Christ. He has the key to my life. He has the right of way to my heart. He has the mastery over my life. That's what baptism is saying. It is not being married to a church. It is not giving to a church. When someone is baptized, they do not become a member of this church automatically because they are baptized. Baptism, as well as church membership, is something that people do voluntarily without any pressure from anyone in this congregation. They do it because they are in love with Christ, who loved them and gave himself for them. The meaning of baptism is that I am identifying myself, first of all, with the purposes of God. When I'm baptized, it means that I'm identifying myself with the mission of the church. When I'm baptized, I am declaring that my life is under new management. And so the example of Jesus, the experience of Jesus, and now, my friends, I call this the exposure of Jesus. The exposure of Jesus. Only Jesus knew this at his baptism. It was never repeated after that, or was it never done before? Look, if you please, in Mark 1, 10 and 11. Mark 1, 10 and 11. And immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. This is something that was unique to Christ. In the Spirit coming and resting on him. Let me suggest to you, friends, what this is saying. This is the first clue we have as what kind of a life Jesus lived for 30 years. If there was anything wrong with the life of Christ 30 years from the time he was born to that time, the Spirit of God could never rest upon him as a dove. In the Spirit coming upon him, the Spirit was saying, I am identifying this act in line with the purposes of the eternal. And at the baptism of Christ, you have God the Father observing. You have the Holy Spirit coming. And you have the Son of God being baptized. If you please, the Godhead involved in this wonderful, wonderful ministry we call baptism. And I want to suggest to you that even though we do not have the same experience as Christ here to declare our deity, what God sees, I think, my friends, in your baptism and in mine, he sees the pleasure of his Son in your life and mine. That's what he will see tonight when those six people go in to the waters of baptism. Here we have then the deity of Christ. And don't forget this. Jesus was not a mere man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is also Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He was the God who, from eternity of eternities, existed in glory. And at that first Christmas, he came and took upon himself the form of a man. And when we see Jesus Christ this day being baptized with the Spirit coming upon him, what we're seeing, my friends, is the endorsing of heaven upon his life as the true Son of God. This was not done for John the Baptist. This was not done for Peter. This was not done for Paul. This was not done for any of the disciples. It was only done for Christ. And when we follow him as he follows God, God is pleased with us as he was pleased with him. The very Son of God pleased his Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. As he went into the waters, as the very God of very gods, the heavens open, and God said, "This is my Son in whom I am pleased." And my friends, like I said before, as we follow him tonight, God will be pleased because we're doing what the Son of God did. We're pleasing God because we're following his Son. "It is my Son in whom I am pleased." In this little verse, 10 and 11, we have Jesus being the only one capable of being your Savior and mine. John could not die for the disciples. Peter could not die for the disciples. None of the disciples could die for the world. Only Jesus Christ could. And when God opened the heavens and declared his Son to be whom he was saying, "This is the one that I have promised from time immemorial to come into the world, to live a sinless, spotless life upon the face of the earth, to go to Mount Calvary, to die on the cross as a substitute for sinners. He literally took upon himself your sins and mine because he had none of his own." And my friends, when Jesus died on the cross, he accomplished the purpose for which he came into the world. And when we receive him as Savior, we please the eternal God, the eternal Father, because he's saying this. You know it as well as I do. A verse that is known to everyone. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The way we are saved and make our way to heaven is by trusting the Son whom the Father said, "In him I am well pleased." Tonight, those who are being baptized will bring pleasure to God because they're going to follow his Son in obedience and yield to his Lordship. And when we do that, friends, when we do that, heaven itself rejoices. There will be people here who will celebrate the commitment of these tonight, but not only here, heaven itself will celebrate, because when God is pleased with his Son, he's pleased when we obey him.